This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good stuff. Jason Sehorn, former Giant. 8 years with the GMNs. Finished up with the Rams. He's with us in the studio. USC guy.
Nine.
It's on the resume. I got to drop it in there, Jay.
So tell me about the marathon. Why did you decide to do this? How are you feeling? New York City Roadrunners, I'm very tight with
them. I see, like, yeah, you're a little connected
BT
there.
BT knows this. Yeah. That's all I talk about is running, and I do 20 miles this weekend and 19 Team for Kids event this week.
He's kidded out right now.
Yeah, no, he loves. He's geeked out.
tell me why you decided to run a marathon, because I know you're running it with your wife.
Yeah, there's
going to beat you.
I will not live that one down. But there's two reasons. There's the competitive nature. Like, I like to compete still. So I want to go do things that push the envelope athletically, even at 48. But the other reason is, like, my wife started this foundation about 14 years ago called the Foundation for Tomorrow. And 3 years ago, she started Team TFFT, and it was a way to, like, get people to engage athletically to raise money for causes. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be her cause, but for causes. Like, people run marathons all the time or do bike races or swim or whatever it is, but, like, why don't you, since you're going to do that, raise money for somebody? And so she started Team TFFT, and I started mountain biking, and I do a couple races there and started raising money through the mountain biking. And she was like, wait a minute, what if we do the marathon in New York and you try to raise money for the foundation doing the marathon in New York? And I was like, nah, I'm built for speed, babe. I'm not built for distance. And she goes, nah, that's a lame excuse. You're a competitor. And then she started throwing out times of former Giants. And then she started throwing out times of all NFL players. And she's like, oh, what, you don't think you can beat that? And I was like, I don't know if I can beat that. And she's like, oh, well, I think maybe you should try then. And I was like, damn. Kind of pull some strings there.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'll do it. I'll run it. It might be my first, last, and only. I don't know yet.
You're going to get hooked.
What's the target time? What was your best time so far?
428 was my target. Was my best. It's always my target. Oh. I rarely meet it.
One time you ran with Tracy, you stopped to help.
Exactly.
You stopped at a drink at one of the bars.
You're joking. I did. I actually had Tracy bring me a beer. I was like, she's like, what do you want? You want me to bring like a gel or something? I'm like, no, give me like a Bud Light.
You shotgun a beer on mile 19.
No, it's literally, it's like mile 17. I shotgun the beer. I actually have a video of it. It's awesome.
Did you key it? Did you actually?
No.
Okay, they didn't do it like the college way.
They popped it.
Got it.
But so, Amani Toomer ran 4:13.
He's a beast.
4:13?
He's a beast.
4:11, something like that. But he did it when he was like 36 years old or something.
Yep. Yeah.
Jason and I are in our 40s.
After I agreed to do this and I started running, and I complained constantly about the fact that my legs are just always dead. Like, they don't feel good. They're just tired all the time. You're running 4 or 5 days a week. And I'm like, golly, when am I going to feel good? Tiki's like, don't worry, about a month after the marathon, you feel great. I lost my train of thought on that one. The speed thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect. We had this conversation today because they were trying to, like, hype it up, like, you know, we were in a competitive battle. I'm like, I don't know if I'm in a competitive battle with anybody.
Just finish, dude.
I'm in a competitive battle with myself.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
The furthest I've run is 15 miles, and I was like, oh, hell, that was hell. And I still got 12.2, and Tiki's like, you just need to look at it as an accomplishment that you finished 15. I was like, okay, mind games. I see what we're doing.
It's all mind games.
I started wearing like socks up over my calves.
You see what this guy wears when he runs. The fashionista over here has got lime green this, and he's got
for some
that.
Reason my calves get sore when I run. I'm like, they've never gotten sore when I run. You know why? Because I only had to run 100 yards.
That's true.
Like, they don't get sore like that.
You know what I wanted to, we're going to get to USC. Jason Sehorn is with us in studio on Tiki and Tierney. Great stuff so far. The first segment, really honest evaluations on Cam Newton, the Giants. Before I ask you about USC and get a little deep into the weeds on that, I've always been curious. I mean, the stereotypes for the white athlete, it's changing. McCaffrey is a freak. I mean, I was going to say, it seems like the white athlete is faster than he was back then.
It's funny you're going this way, because Jason Stink changed it for me when I met him.
This is what I want to ask him. At what point did you know that you weren't just fast for a white guy, but that you were truly a superior speed guy? Oh, when did you know that?
When I got to SC.
You didn't know that in high school?
No. I only played my senior year of high school. What? Yeah, yeah.
And he makes the NFL.
And I went to a high school that had maybe 4 or 5 black kids.
Okay, so your football team was terrible.
And I went to...
He's like my high school. There was four or five black kids.
And two of them were twins. And then I went to play baseball in the minor leagues. And,
that's right.
And it's a bunch of, you know, Latin American kids and, you know, island kids. And so I was like, huh. So I still haven't been exposed to a lot of black athletes.
Okay.
In Northern California in 1989 when I graduated, there just wasn't a lot of black athletes, especially where I was. And then went to junior college, still smaller pond of, you know, competition. And as good as I was, like, I don't know how good I – who am I going against?
Yeah.
And then when I got to USC, I was like, oh – okay, I see why. You start to self-evaluate and go, okay, I see what they're talking about. Oh, I am kind of athletic. That's cool.
Wow.
You know, like, because it's just like the marathon. How do I know if I'm any good if I've never done this?
Yeah.
So I get to SC and I've got coaches telling me, listen, you're really talented and you can play wide receiver here, but you're not going to start because there's this guy, Curtis Conway,
mm-hmm.
and Johnny Morton.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Morton, Lions, long time.
They're going to start.
Conway, we know.
Yeah, but Conway was number 8 pick
yeah.
in the draft. Johnny was like 19 or 21 for the Lions. But anyway, they're like, they're going to start. You can play and get reps, but that's it. I'm just letting you know. But if you go to defense, I think you'll start right now. And I went, all right. But there's a coach telling me, go play. So
you didn't play defense in high school at all for the 1 year? What about JUCO?
No, wide receiver.
What an amazing athletic success story this is.
Then I get there, and my junior year I play safety, because typical. You're 6'3", 218, put in safety. And my mindset's not... you know, in the box. Like, I want to be back there. And safety, mm-hmm. sometimes you got to get in the box. I'm like, not for me. That's what happens with, you know, playing wide receiver.
At least she's honest about it.
Shoot, I know who I am.
Yeah.
Playing wide receiver, though, like, I wasn't the aggressor. I was, like, going to get the ball, not the person. Defense, you get the person. And so my senior year, Dennis Thurman comes in, and DT says, we're moving you to corner. And I was like, huh?
Oh,
I don't know about all this.
Now I'm on the island.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, we're moving you to corner.
Wow.
So spent my whole senior year there, got to the Giants, and they drafted me in the second round, immediately put me a strong safety.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. And I mean, I don't even know how I made the team my rookie year, only because I was a second round pick. That's the only reason I was there, because they're like, well, we gave him money, got to keep him now.
Yeah.
But like, I remember Joe DeCamillis was our special teams coach, and we had this conversation years later, and he said in one of the meetings, I literally said I have no use for him.
Wow. Like,
no one had ever asked me to play special teams my entire life except for to return the ball. Not to run down. Kickoff.
Nah.
Punt return. What? Drop step on that thing? What? I was useless.
So how did you? What did the transition happen?
I'll tell you. Then they put me in the box.
Because when I got there, you were like the man.
Yeah. But then they put me in the box.
Like White Dion over here.
And I'm like, this sucks, man. And so they could just see my body language or whatever. And what has to be frustrating is if we run gas or something, like, I'll be one of the fastest people always. Mm-hmm. They can see athletic ability, but all of a sudden they're watching the production going, I can't put that on the field.
Uh-huh.
It was literally that bad. And week eight, I think I was active for one game. And my total rookie year, I was active for 8.
Oof.
But
second round pick.
Yeah.
Oof.
Week 8, they finally have a conversation about, you know, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Y'all drafted me as a strong safety. I am not a strong safety. I don't even know if I'm a free safety in this league right now.
Yeah.
I played corner. You saw me play corner. I thought I was going to play corner. And now, mind you, my DB coach at SC, Dennis, I still had conversation with him. Like, coach, this is awful. Like, this sucks. He's like, fight to play corner. Just fight. And his purpose was, if you start out at corner, you can always move to safety later. But if you start at safety, they'll never move you the other way. So I was just fighting, like, I know I can do that. And week 8 conversation, I sat down with Dan Reeves and Mike Nolan and Zaven Uralian, who was my DB coach, and we kind of had a powwow on what's up. And I'm like, I'll tell you what's up. I'm not happy. I'm miserable. I'm not. You got me in a position I can't play or don't want to play, whatever it is. What do you want to do? I want to play corner. Just let me try it. You didn't even give me a shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they gave me a shot. And from there, everything started to turn around. I started making plays in practice. They put me on special teams, which I still didn't like. But I was like, all right, I get a uniform on Sunday, so that's good. And then year 2, boom, took off. And that's all it was.
Yeah.
It was just it was me fighting to stick to that position. And, you know, they had to have some faith to go, okay, golly, can we put him there? But in the middle of the season, they can never do that. There's no possible way they can take a kid who's been playing safety for 10 weeks and eighth week of the season, go, sure, go out in the game, play corner.
That's
now.
Just unfair. It's irresponsible. Yeah, kind of I got you.
But you had some of the Cam Newton.
You had some iconic plays, including that tip, whatever, that interception.
Oh, when he flipped over, did the somersault,
caught it, and ran it in for a touchdown.
I mean, there's been some fun ones.
It worked until you decided
USC.
You wanted to return kickoffs in the preseason.
I was at that
Jets.
Game. I've told Tiki. It was a Jet Giant game when you ripped up your knee. Yeah. All right, we got to get into USC. It's getting a little late here. First of all, what do they do?
So I was behind all the decisions that they've made. You know, I like Clay Helton. I don't think this is on Clay Helton, but I'm starting to wonder if Clay Helton falls into the category of Norv Turner, if he's a great offensive mind and maybe shouldn't run a team. I don't know. Like, I don't have the heartbeat to watch practice on a regular basis to see how he commands it. I have a lot of questions about defense.
Mm-hmm.
I have since Pete Carroll left.
Wow.
Because they've not played like the way they used to play. And they've got athletes everywhere. They no longer have a talent deficiency. When Pete first left and Lane was there, there was a talent deficiency because of all the recruiting sanctions. They lost 10 scholarships 3 years in a row. That's a huge dent.
Yeah, that adds up.
So, by the time you get to your senior class, you're losing 30 kids.
Yep. Yeah.
So that was then. This is now. This is now says they've got talent. It doesn't perform.
Is it still the destination?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem that way. I don't think
California,
it does.
I mean, there's been some good. Players come out of there. But team wise, it's not all of them.
Yeah.
If you're a California kid right now, the last 10 years, and you love the West Coast, where else do you go? In football, Oregon? Because once Chip Kelly left, you know that thing's gone downhill too.
So, but when does that expire? Just based on territoriality. Well, you got to have a little something more substantive than that.
Oregon, there's nowhere else to go.
Or you go to Texas, or you go
Alabama.
To flee across.
Go to Clemson.
But you're talking about kids who might not want to leave California.
Yeah.
Like, 18-year-olds don't just want to, all of them, get up and leave. So getting back to the football part, though, they're always going to have the tradition. And they're lucky enough, good enough, just to have enough talent to win every 3 or 4 years over the last, since Pete left. But there's no consistency. So how do you fix that? What is the problem? It's not talent. I know they lost the starting quarterback towards ACL. Slovis looked awesome when he came in relief. Slovis looked pretty good last week. And then all of a sudden you get the second half and they have Graham Harrell as their OC and they're going to run the air raid, right? I'm telling you, they hand the ball off every time. And I'm listening to the announcers talk. And I understand the air raid says, you know, you got six in the box, you run it. You got seven or eight, you throw it. And so they had six in the box the whole time, so they just kept running it. I'm like, they're forcing you to do what you don't want to do.
Adjust, do something.
They're making you run the ball by putting them outside the box, like suckers. Like, air raid doesn't run the ball, and they ran over and over and over, and it's like, 21 points in the air raid from running?
It's analytics. It's too much analytics, in a sense.
It's right now, the thing that's frustrating for me as an alumni is they're in a situation where when you lose your starting quarterback, I mean, all bets are off everywhere.
Yep.
I don't care what level of play you are, college, pro, high school, you lose the starter, it's usually a drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as good as Slovis played in the first game, now people are game planning. Obviously, it's a little bit different. So it's hard to judge. I would have loved to have been able to judge them healthy. But he's going to get judged based on what they're doing. And right now, I'm looking at the last 3 or 4 years, and like, there's just no consistency in winning. It's like,
would you bring in Urban Meyer?
No. Why?
Why?
Dude's quit twice.
One of the best coaches on the planet.
He'll
fix you in a heartbeat.
Okay, so
he might cheat a little bit, but he'll fix you.
But I mean, my point is, like, he left Florida exhaustion. He left Ohio State fatigue. Mm-hmm. You know, why do we keep retreading the old ones?
Mm-hmm.
I really respected the decision to hire Clay, young coach. Brilliant mind, offensive guy, boom, put him in. It may not work. So far, it hasn't really worked. They haven't gotten back to where they should have been. But they gave it a shot. The retread idea, I'm not a big fan of. Just find a great coach. Don't go find a name to plug. Find the best one for this job. If Urban is the best for that job, okay, try to convince him to leave Ohio.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so like the indiscretions as an alum, as somebody connected to them, you don't care about that, right?
Because the president, sports.
But the president reportedly does, where people want him, but the president's not going to sign off on it. So I guess it matters to somebody.
Okay. Well,
it's a perceptual thing.
And it's a state that
I don't think it's a real thing. I think it's a perception thing.
I don't know. If they don't hire him, it's real.
We don't have enough time, but it's a state that also just says, okay, now you can, you know, gain off your likeness in college.
And we talked about
that
yesterday.
That's not going to go through, I don't think, but still.
We talked about that yesterday.
All right, November 3rd, we'll see you. out at the New York City Marathon.
Will we see them or will they see us?
They'll find us.
I will see you. Do you look around when you run?
I will see you. And as a team,
you'll see me.
As a Team for Kids ambassador and ambassador for New York
Runners.
Yeah, and
you wear that bright stuff. I'm running. Well, I see people on the side.
Nice and bright.
Yeah, you can't miss you.
Nice and bright. You will see me.
He will show off. He'll be decked out. He'll lay his outfit out a week before like a 9-year-old getting ready for Little League.
Even
here's
today,
my track outfit. He loves it. He's crazy
even
about
today
it.
When he showed
loves
up, like,
it.
His running shoes have a little bit of green in them. His socks had some green in them. His shorts had a little green.
Oh, trust
flare.
Me, I know.
That color green was like intermixed everywhere. Yeah, at night they're gonna you won't get hit at night either.
I hope I don't have to run until it's nighttime.
He's not. You I don't know. Just break 5 hours. You can't. You've got to break five hours.
I'm telling
you,
he's going to break four. I promise
you. He's not breaking 4 hours.
I promise you. Watch.
No disrespect. Whoa. He's not breaking four
I can
hours.
Look at him and
wait,
see
wait.
It. I can look at
see,
you and see
I'm
it.
I'm not breaking four?
Yeah.
Challenge or bet? Because they're two different things.
What do you want bet?
All right. I've got to come up with something.
He's a shark.
I'll
don't mess with him.
I mean, within leverage, he's down for a good bet.
But he doesn't have anything to leverage. This isn't a spread. This is me.
Well, then I have to do something that obviously would be uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about this off.
I like that Bob Mary bet where you'd be wearing my jersey for a month.
No, you know what I think we should do? Make him run one.
Get that. I can't. I had back surgery. I wish I could. I would actually try it. I
really like the fact that you've been my jersey for quite some time. Like, did you see what Bob Menery did when he played Steph Curry?
Wear that ugly
jersey.
So he tried
some internet guy, but he lost a golf bet with Steph Curry. They played 18 holes, and he lost on the 18th hole, and the bet was he had to wear his jersey for 30 straight days.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he did.
But that's a cool jersey.
That was fun.
I don't want to walk around with Seahorn.
That's a cool jersey.
Hey, listen, man. Great spot,
Jason.
Great
fan.
Having you
think
there.
Of it as a throwback.
He's a Jets fan,
that's
though.
That's true. It is a little retro.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We're old enough where it's retro now.
That would really sting.
All right. That was awesome. This guy's tremendous, man. Jason Seahorn was money.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.